You know very well that when the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him, and his descendants, ordered a man to be stoned to death for adultery, he, after the death of the adulterer, offered Salatul Mayyat, prayers for the dead body, for him, and allowed his property to go to his heirs. Similarly, when he passed a death sentence upon a murderer, he permitted his heirs to inherit his property. Even thieves and those guilty of fornication, after undergoing the sentences of punishment, were considered by him to be entitled to receive their share of donations from the Baitul Mal, and were allowed to freely marry Muslim girls. When he found men guilty of sins, he punished them for transgressing the bounds set by Allah for human liberty, and he ordered them to receive the punishment they deserved. Yet he never deprived them of the rights of citizenship or declared them to be infidels. Of all the wicked and sinful people of this world, you are the worst. You are the people whom Satan has used for his sinful purposes and has driven towards vicious ways. To be sure, in respect of my position among men, two kinds of people shall be lost on account of their ignorance. One group will have such excessive love for me as to let them go astray from Allah. The other group is that who have enmity against me, which will certainly lead them away from truth and Islam. Therefore, so far as I am concerned, try to maintain the respect, love, and awe which I truly deserve. A moderate point of view without exaggeration or immoderation. I advise you to follow this course and stick to this principle, because the hand of Allah will always protect and guide such people. Do not create dissensions and do not keep yourself aloof from such a group, because separation from this party will make you a ready victim to the devilish schemes of the Satan, just as a sheep wandering away from a herd falls an easy prey to a wolf. Beware, if somebody persuades you to join the Kharijites, kill him, even if his head is tied with my turban. So far as the question of the arbitration is concerned, you must remember that the two arbitrators were appointed with the sole purpose and with clear and explicit orders that they had to revive those principles which the Holy Quran has revived, and to annul those vices and sins which the Holy Quran has forbidden. Reviving of the Holy Quran means to agree and to accept the principles laid down by it, and death of the Quran means ignoring its commands and interdictions. If the Quran tells that our opponents are right, we shall follow them. And if the Holy Book brings them towards truth and justice, they must obey us. I did not advise you to do a sinful thing. Neither I misled you, nor did I keep anything secret from you. At the same time, I never doubted your sincerity towards Islam. When you unanimously and adamantly demanded appointment of two arbitrators, I agreed to it. But I made them promise that they would act according to the commands of the Holy Book and would not deviate from it. But those two did not keep their promises and purposely and deliberately violated the pledge they had made. They deviated from truth and the Holy Quran, knowing all the while the injustice and viciousness of their action. though they fully realized where truth and justice lay. Yet they had an inordinate desire to go against Allah's religion. I had already explained to them that I would not abide by their decision if it was against the Holy Quran and if it was based on injustice and oppression. Sermon 131. In this sermon, there is a certain prophecy about some warriors and their army and about the place where their army would strike. Some translators are of the opinion that the place was Basra and the army was that of Sa'ahib al-Zanj, the Negro chief who invaded Basra about 100 years after Imam Ali, while others think that the prophecy was about the notorious imposter who declared himself a prophet and marched on Basra in the Abbasid regime during the lifetime of Imam Hassan Askari. But for obvious reasons, I do not agree with either group. The army, the armament, and the mode of invasion is of that kind which man has not yet fully evolved. Some more time must pass before the world will face the soundless movement of armies, when supersonic war planes will be able to cross from east to west and north to south, and will reach destinations even before the sounds of these aircraft are heard. For the prophecy may be about the guided missiles carrying destructive warheads. Ahnaf was a companion of the Holy Prophet. He belonged to the tribe of Bani Tamim. It was he who converted his clan to Islam after the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him, and his descendants. He was with Imam Ali. The Imam has addressed him in this summer. O Ahnaf, it appears to me as if I am with that person who has marched at the head of an army whose movements do not produce any sound and raise no dust from the earth. Their birds of bad omen will not roar. Those people will persist in waging wars over the earth with perseverance of an ostrich without understanding the far-reaching effects of such war. I feel sorry for your well-populated streets, for you have beautifully decorated houses. Houses which were so well gilded that they shone like the wings of eagles, and whose conduits were trunks of elephants. I pity those people who, when killed and annihilated, will not be mourned, and whose total disappearance will not be deplored. I have no interest in this vicious world, because I know its entire past, present and future, and I fully realize its futility. In the same sermon, Imam Ali speaks of a certain nation. The commentators think that by it he meant the Mongols, Turks. It is as if I actually see them with my own eyes. They are people with round flat faces, like shields placed one over the other. Round faces with raised cheekbones, therefore flat. They are clad in silk and brocade. They are fast moving and powerful carriers will follow each other. The battle in which they will fight will rage so furiously that the wounded will walk over the bodies of the dead, and very few will escape death and imprisonment. When the sermon reached this stage, a person from the clan of Bani Kilab got up and asked, O Amirul Mu'mineen, can you foretell the future? Imam Ali smiled and said, O my brother from the clan of Kilab, what I have told you is not the absolute hidden knowledge which is known only to Allah, but it is a knowledge which has been granted to us by the Almighty who created knowledge. The absolute hidden knowledge is of the Day of Judgment and of the things which Almighty Allah has already enumerated. He Himself says in the Holy Quran, only Allah has the knowledge of the coming of the hour of doom. Surah Luqman 31:21. Allah knows what is in the womb of a mother, a male or a female baby, a beautiful or an ugly child, whether it will grow up to be generous or a miser, fortunate or unfortunate, whether he will lead a pious life, entering paradise in company of prophets, or will go to hell with his deeds. This is the hidden knowledge known only to Allah. Besides this, the rest of the knowledge has been revealed by him to the Holy Prophet, who in turn disclosed all of it to me, and prayed to Allah that I may imbibe it fully and guard it carefully. Sermon 132. O people, you and all that you wish and desire of this world are like visitant with very limited time to stay. But your obligations, moral and religious, are like debts with a constant and pressing demand for repayment, and which you have to pay back in a very limited span of your life, and with a set of actions which are to be taken account of. Some of you are such that because of ignorance you expend your lives to no purpose, while many others are over jealous, and not knowing the proper way, they either overdo a thing or do it wrongly, and thus cannot achieve what they want to. You are born in an age where you are faced with more and more of evil, and find good receding away and away from you. It is an age when Satan has greater desire of misleading people. His maneuvering schemes are being pursued more and more vigorously. His cunning devices to lure you are becoming very common, and it is very easy for him now to gather victims from amongst you. Look carefully around you and collect true information of the society. You will either find beggars who are suffering the pangs of poverty, or rich people who do not repay the bounties of Allah with their gratitudes, misers who, though possessing millions, yet refuse to attend to their obligations and to pay their dues to Allah and man, or those arrogant and haughty persons who do not care to listen to good advice and wise suggestions given by religion. Where are the generous, merciful, noble, and liberal-minded men? Where are those who have been honest in their trades and transactions? Where are the people who had made piety their aim of life? Have they not left this world, which is so mean and so full of calamities and afflictions? What did you get of this world after them but dregs or refuse of men and material? Various strata of your society are composed today of such people that it is not worthwhile even to speak ill of them. They are not even worth slandering
Surely, we belong to Allah, and to Him we shall certainly return. Surah Al-Baqarah 2:156. May Allah grant us patience over this loss of sense of morality. Wickedness and depravity have so spread that those who do not like them cannot put a stop to them, and those who hate and abhor them cannot keep themselves from them. With all this viciousness and perversity, do you still desire to secure a place in the realm of Allah, the Paradise, or to be considered as His friends? What a childish whim! Nobody can deceive Allah and secure a place in His Paradise through cheating, and nobody can win His favor but by implicitly obeying Him. Curse of Allah be upon those who advise others to be good, but do not follow the advice themselves. Woe be to them who tell others to abstain from evil, and themselves do not abstain from it. Sermon 133. Part of the sermon delivered on the occasion when Imam Ali went to see off Abu Zar, who was forced to go to Rabdah and was banished from Medina during the third caliphate. O Abu Zar, since your indignation and anger against the enemies of Allah, seek of Allah and to secure His pleasure, you may rightly expect His blessings. People are afraid of you because they will lose their worldly possessions and positions on account of your true interpretation of Islam. You were afraid of them because you thought that Islam would suffer on their account. Now leave with them what they feared to lose on your account: vicious and sinful worldly possessions and power. And take away in your safe custody that which you were anxious that it might not suffer at their hands a serious loss: true teachings of Islam. In fact, they are really and truly in need of that which you are taking away with you: peace and blessings bestowed by religion. And you can very conveniently do without that which they want to hold at any cost: worldly power and wealth. And in near future, on the Day of Judgment, you will know who has been benefited by this transaction and who is being envied for this gain. Even when the doors of Paradise and earth are closed against a man, and he sincerely and piously prays, the old mercy Allah will confer upon him blessings of both the worlds. Abu Zar, love only truth and justice, and hate only falsehood and impiety. Impious people are such that they will befriend you only when you accept their ways of life, and will take you under their protection. If you enter their fold, they will not come to your help merely on philanthropic ground, because you rightly deserve help and protection. Sermon 134. An advice to the people who had gathered around Imam Ali at Kufa. O people, you have divergent beliefs and different views of life. You have physic of man, but your mental capacity is very low. I want you to like and love truth and justice, but you are as much afraid of them as a sheep is afraid of the roar of a lion. What a pity! I find it impossible to make you an example for working on the principles of equity and justice in society, or to make you go along straight path. O Lord, you know very well that whatever I did was neither with the desire of securing a kingdom, nor with the cravings for temporary benefits of a transient world. What I did was with the sole purpose of revealing and reviving the truth of religion. The truth which was fast disappearing and was being disregarded by man. My aim was to bring justice, peace and prosperity to your servants, so that the oppressed may receive due protection and bounds of human liberty set by your commandments may be duly guarded. O Lord, I was the first to recognize your glory and might, to hear your message and to accept your command. No one but the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, preceded me in offering prayers, salah, and supplications to you. O people, you must understand and realize that so far as protection of properties, rights and honor of the Muslim world, the propagation and preservation of Muslim laws, and the management of Muslim finances are concerned, an ignorant person, a miser, a tyrant, a man who accepts bribes, or the one who has forsaken the principles of equity and justice, should not be entrusted with the rulership of a Muslim state. A miserly person will covet the wealth of those over whom he rules. An ignorant person will misguide them. A tyrant will oppress and tyrannize them. One who is not afraid of fast-changing times and policies will, to the detriment of the cause of Islam, keep on forming unholy alliances with one nation after the other. A corrupt ruler who indulges in bribery will violate rights and will not dispense justice. And the one who ignores the traditions of the Holy Prophet will be responsible for the destruction of Islamic ideals and precepts. Sermon 135. A sermon on death and how to be prepared for it. Glory be to Allah. He punishes those who deserve punishment and rewards those who merit rewards. He deserves praises for the bounties granted by him and for calamities through which he tries and tests us. He knows all the hidden things. He knows our secret thoughts as well as all that we look at stealthily or look for in our heart of hearts. I testify that no one deserves worship but Allah, and that Muhammad, peace of Allah be upon him and his descendants, is his chosen prophet, whom he has entrusted with his message. I testify all this with my tongue as well as by my heart. I believe in that testimony wholeheartedly. By Allah, what I am trying to warn you about is not a phantom. It is something which has got an undeniable and irrefutable reality. It is not a fiction, but an actual fact, and an unavoidable certainty. What is it? What else could it be but death? Beware. It has sounded the knell and would not brook any delay in overtaking you. Beware. Sight of thousands of living human beings around you may not deceive you. They are all bound to go, one following the other. You have had enough experience of a person who was alive till the other day. He had amassed wealth and was afraid of poverty. He thought himself immune from the aging process of life, biological process of the beginning and end of life. He had inordinately high hopes and considered himself to be safe from the hands of death. You have also seen how death overtook him, how it snatched him away from his home, how he was lifted on the shoulders of others to his grave. Have you not seen those people who had great expectations, built palatial houses to live in, and amassed great wealth around them? Were not their houses turned into graves? Did not the wealth hoarded by them was either destroyed or was inherited by others? Finally, they had to part with it. Did not their widows marry other persons? Now, after their death, they cannot either make an addition to their deeds, nor can they offer any excuse for the evil lives they had led. But the person who has made up his mind to lead an honest and virtuous life is the one who has made the best use of the short span of life granted to him, and who has succeeded in securing the reward reserved for such a life. Remember that no one of you is immortal. The duration of your life here is like a passage on a bridge. Do good deeds in this life, and thus ensure a good reward for the life in the next world. Do your duty, and be prepared to respond to the quick and sudden departure. Sermon 136. Apparently, the whole of this sermon was not found by the compilers of the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali. They have found five different portions, which are considered by some as five different sayings, and by others as portions of a long sermon about the Holy Quran and its principles, the Holy Prophet and his teachings, and lastly, about the Almighty Allah and his might and power. Here, Imam Ali says that the universe obeys his orders. Amidst you is the Book of Allah, the Holy Quran. It always guides you towards Islam. Its teachings are like a house standing on strong pillars, keeping those who enter the fold of Islam safe from calamities of both the worlds. It is the source of such an inherent power that those who follow it will never be humiliated or defeated. Allah sent him the Holy Prophet, peace of Allah be upon him, and his descendants, as his prophet and messenger after a long cessation of his revelations, when there was general disagreement about the faith in Allah and religion. To remove this confusion from human minds, he decreed our Holy Prophet as his last messenger, and after him brought his revelations to an end. The Holy Prophet rose in defense of Islam against those who stood in the way of its propagation, and against those who wanted to crush it with their might. This world is a thing of great and exclusive importance to those who have no vision and who cannot see or substantiate what lies behind it or beyond it. The man with true insight of things realizes that not this, but the next world is the place for rest and rewards. He who understands realities does not care to work for this world, but he who cannot comprehend them concentrates his mind and energy on this life only. Learn and remember that everything in this world is such that those who crave for it may get satiated today, but will be disgusted with it tomorrow. This is true of everything. Our mind desires except life itself, for nobody gets really tired of life, but thinks of finding rest and pleasure in death. Verily, a real insight in the philosophy of life and death is the source of knowledge, which will bestow wisdom to minds not awakened to realities, will give vision to eyes blinded to truth, will confer power of hearing to ears deaf to the inner voice of conscience and reasoning, and will fully satisfy the thirst for greater knowledge.